welcome back to the Nutri-Medical Report. We finish off the week with one of our, I call pathologists of the geopolitical deep state, Gary Richard Arnold. And Gary, we're going to probably do some videos tomorrow because you have charts and tables and pictures. One of the articles you just sent me a moment ago is Susan Rice Deep State Test. I'd like you to expand on this because these people are often, from their childhood, actually brought forward, inculcated, indoctrinated, and believe they have a sense of entitlement, like the British royals or the royals of Europe, that they really run the world. And you see that entitlement look on the face of Susan Rice, who, among many others, are going to lose their deep state, we call Intel certification, to be able to be able to have high classification to continue to converse with current people in the government. That's going to be revoked shortly, and it's an example of how Trump is attacking the deep state at its roots, which is these foundations, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Institute for International Education, etc. I'd like you to go through all these details because the inculcation and indoctrination of people like Susan Rice is a perfect example, as you say, the deep state test. Please tell us more.
Right. We did something like this with Valerie Jarrett a couple of weeks ago, and I have to go back and do a new one because there's just so much. It's like being at a fun house with a pinball machine, and each pinball is designed to, you know, go from one thing to light up to another. And
right.
The thing is,
so you can hear the ping sound, bing, 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 bing. In other words,
do a tilt to control where the ball goes.
Yeah. Wow!
Just looking at Susan Rice alone, you know, she didn't, you know, come from, you know, like a little black girl from the South. Her father was actually a governor of the Federal Reserve System, and her father himself was a Fulbright Fellow. And the Fulbright Fellows were, you know, created in the 40s by Senator William Fulbright to push, you know, world government. And one of the outfits that selects candidates for the world government is the Institute of International Education. Turns out to be founded by Elihu Root, who was the founding chairman of the Council on Foreign Relations. So we've got, you know, the father of Susan Rice, connected with the founder of the Council on Foreign Relations, who was the Secretary of State of William Howard Taft, who was a member of Skull and Bones. And he was also, her father was appointed as the alternative executive director of the World Bank. And again, her father was appointed by trilateralist Jimmy Carter to the Federal Reserve Board, and he served under Paul Volcker. And Paul Volcker, of course, was the head of the Federal Reserve and the banker network called Group of 30. And if you look that up, you've got, you know, you got Goldman Sachs, you've got, you know, Rothschild, you've got, you know, it's just a network of central banks.
It's a nest, if you want to call it. It's like if you're trying to get rid of pests around your home, this is like a nest of bankers, right?
This is it. That's it. Yeah, it's an orgy of globalists and controllers.
Right.
So anyway, Susan Rice was shaped by many people. She got a Truman Scholarship, and I looked into Truman Scholarships, and they were founded by Stuart Symington, and Stuart Symington comes from one of the Sutton secret societies that he exposed at Yale University called Elihu, and himself. Symington Jr., who put together the Truman scholarship that Rice got, went to a preparatory school called the Gilman School, and that was named after Daniel Coit Gilman, who was the incorporator of the Council on, or the Skull and Bones. So even when I go to the Gilman School page, and they even call themselves a feeder school, and we've talked before about the...
By a feeder, you mean feeding to the establishment of these globalists, is what you're saying.
Right. This is the operation outside of governments. It was like the the Rothschilds founded Interpol in 1924 so that they didn't have to depend on controlling any one, you know, national government. They could always go to their international group and take care of things there. But,
right.
Yeah, the 10 school admissions organization, that's over in the New England area, and they, you know, they feed the secret societies at Yale and the Porcelain Club at Harvard and a few of the other networks that funnel these people off, picked up as administrators for the World Bank.
But, yeah, you've got a lot of data here. I mean, you can go right down to Bechtel Corporation. By the way, Bechtel Corporation is the largest corporation on Earth making the underground cities all over the planet. And, of course, it's tied to globalism. And Bechtel originally came out of California, didn't it?
Yeah, he's out of Northern California. You can, it's the Bohemian Grove. It's Council on Foreign, Stephen Bechtel, member of the Council on Foreign Relations. They were the one that built the Hoover Dam or on the Colorado River there. But they were also the industrial face of American corporations around the world
right.
were picking up and knocking off left and right wing dictators in order to claim stake to the minerals in those various countries. And of course
right.
they set up a puppet government, and again, left or right, it didn't make any difference. As a matter of fact, they're the ones that went to Indonesia, and it was Philip Jessop Jr. that set up, you know, the mineral extraction there, and Philip Jessop Jr.'s daughter was the first date for Obama. So all these guys are in this.
Dang, I mean, this is a
club.
This is it's a tight club, isn't it?
Yeah, and of course, when you're looking at 6 billion people, they're not all that big, but they pretty much take care of family. Once in a while, they'll get rid of them if they don't think they're smart.
Yeah, and you mentioned also things like Lenny Mendonca, as a vicious globalist in Silicon Valley, and you talked about this, how he's a co-chair of the Rockefeller's California Forward, a common cause organization. California Forward is co-founded by Chinese espionage spy Leon Panetta, and Panetta's still got lots to say about Trump lately, doesn't he? And he tries to look like he's lily white, but he's not. He's actually got his hands pretty dirty with globalism and some pretty dirty schemes, hasn't he?
You know, talking about the pot, you know, something called the pot in black. This guy actually moved military and policy information to a hardcore communist spy, Hugh Lacey, and he's saying that Trump should be questioned because of his so-called collusion with Russia. This guy had, you know, an open conduit that was wide open, and you can prove item after item, letter after letter, where he's, you know, involved with selling out national sovereignty, whether it be in Grenada, Nicaragua, China, or Russia. So, you know, and Leon Panetta is running this, co-founded this California Forward, which is laced with the billionaires and the foundations. And it turns out that the Committee for Economic Development, about 8 years ago, gave this Lenny Mendonca an award for his work in the McKinsey Global Institute. Anyway, McKinsey and Company is very much like Bechtel, and you know, they have offices in dozens of countries, and they actually selected the cabinet for Tony Blair. The governor of Louisiana, I forgot his name, he was an Indian. He had worked for them, but you know, they permeated a lot of the states with...
Yeah, I remember you mentioned the governor who was of Louisiana was originally Indian, but supposedly a Republican, but he's been selected to be part of this deep state, is what you're saying.
Yeah, a lot of these guys, that, you know, that all the characters on the stage, no matter what they say, they have some type of, you know, noose around them.
They're compromised, is what you're saying. They have a geopolitical choke chain on them.
Well, this Committee for Economic Democracy, they advocated getting rid of 80,000 local self-government cities and counties.
Wow.
Thank you.
And welcome back. And Gary, that was a very good analysis. We're going to go through some of these other emails with pictures, diagrams, charts, etc. And it's going to explain to people the gangstas, I call the liocracy, the leakocracy, and the intel agencies, just like, for example, the tentacles of a large octopus. For example, Facebook is just a tentacle. Same way as these educational institutions that are actually recruiting people upward into the New World Order, like Susan Rice from her father. You have to understand that they actually have their own process, just like the British royals tried to have a process of genetically passing on their rulership to their descendants. It's a very similar thing to the royals through Europe and through other countries where there was a lineage there, a genetic and epigenetic lineage of the geopolitical passage of power, isn't it?
Yeah. Let me tell you how important this Lenny Mendoca of California Forward receiving this prize from the Committee for Economic Development. The Committee for Economic Development, at least half of them at times, were members of the Council on Foreign Relations. And they actually put in an AP article, came out in the Star News or the Evening News in 66, and they called for abolishing 80,000 local and self-governing cities and counties. And, of course, they want to strengthen the so-called Council of Governments, or these regional Soviets that almost every town is involved in right now. And they used the same arguments to it would be smart to get rid of this and set up these Soviets because it would end waste and end corruption and it would lower taxes and that the UN integration is good. And back then they were pushing so-called Mundialization and then later Goals 2000 and then it was Agenda 21 and now it's Project 2030. And they use this word harmonization like everything's nice and going to be good for you. But these guys are vicious. They're actually creating Soviets while we're looking at, in our local communities while we're looking at foreign policy, which is as important. But the Susan Rice just brings you right into this whole nexus. She was also the foreign policy advisor for John Kerry in his 2004 campaign. And John Kerry, of course, is a member of Skull and Bones. And if we remember back during 2004, it was Tim Russert that questioned both George W. Bush and John Kerry about their Skull and Bones membership. And, of course, he died early at 58. He's no longer somebody out there to bring up these types of questions. But we find the same people, in fact, it was Madeleine Albright's father who worked and was trained, was trained and worked for Zbigniew Brzezinski at the National Security Council. But her father had taught at the University of Colorado, and they left his name on the International Studies, which is Joseph Kobel. But he taught Condoleezza Rice, who eventually became Secretary of State, and his daughter is Madeleine Albright. So whether you have a Republican or Democrat, the dopes out there that are involved in the food fight are snowed unless they can get one or two levels behind and see how our country is wired with these conspirators belonging to a network of secret societies and top organizations. That's why you never hear on Rush Limbaugh or any of these others anything about the Council on Foreign Relations.
You're not going to hear with a lot of even the so-called conservatives like, what's her name? There's several even on Fox regularly. And they'll never mention these deep state names or foundations or institutions. They'll pontificate about specific issues, but they'll never mention the power brokers, the foundations, and the educational institutions that are actually fostering people into this matrix, are they?
Exactly. And in fact, Condoleezza Rice, Susan Rice is built into the McKinsey and Company, which is a Bechtel-type organization. Susan Rice was on the board of directors of Hewlett-Packard and Carnegie Corporation. We know about Hiss and all those. But she even has her own ship on Chevron, which there's a picture thereof, her own oil freighter. And actually, at the time when Angola was being run by the Marxists, she was Secretary of State under Reagan, and they were supporting the communists against the anti-communists that were trying to overthrow the communists there in order so that Chevron, you know, wouldn't have a problem. Like Rockefeller said, he doesn't care who runs the country as long as he, you know, the country's stable enough, he can be a dictator. So that's what...
You know, he doesn't care what political system they use, but it's communist, socialist, totalitarian, transhumanist. It doesn't matter as long as he controls the power brokers, the educational institutions, and the means of financial exchange, whether it's electronic or e-funds.
Exactly.
Right?
And Dr. Steve Pacenik, who held a bunch of positions under four different presidents and was head of the bin Laden unit, he claims that Condoleezza Rice was one of five people that he named, that he said a general said that it was a stand down, and he named five people that were involved in the 9/11 false flag operation. And if you want those names, one of them is Condoleezza Rice. That is, you know, the peas in a pod with Madeleine Albright and all of these people. But he said the ones that ran the attack and accepted it were Dick Cheney, Paul Wolfowitz, Stephen Hadley, Elliot Abrams, and Condoleezza Rice. He said they had been directly involved in the 9/11 operation. And of course, it was Condoleezza Rice that gave a warning to Willie Brown, who used to be the state assemblyman, the head of the state assembly in California, telling him not to fly the next day. Willie Brown is one of those that advocated doing away with all local government cities and counties and having everything run through Sacramento. So the theme is the same always. They want local self-government replaced with these regional agencies, and the authority that the local dumb cities and counties are doing is transferring that power daily as we are tricked into looking elsewhere.
Amazing. So, Gary, let's look at some of these other articles you posted here. The next one, what would you like to cover next?
Let's see. Let's do the Yale Corporation here.
Yeah. Okay, let's go do that.
What I've got there is a...
that's one you sent me yesterday, right?
Time Magazine, yeah, that's what I sent yesterday on the 26th, 1:30 in the afternoon Pacific time.
Right.
But what I see, you know, more and more, they're talking... In fact, I even heard this on Rush when I was in the radio.
Well, your voice is getting a little more distant there. I don't know what happened.
Okay, let me...
There you're better now. Good, good. Okay. Please continue.
But claiming that, you know, the country's going to go so far that they don't want to have elections anymore. And he says, mark my words, this is going to happen, even though you might not believe it now. But that brought my attention back to the Center for the Study of Democratic Institutions in Santa Barbara. And that was created by the Ford Foundations, and the head of it was Robert Hutchins. And Robert Hutchins was the secretary of the Yale Corporation, and the Yale Corporation is made up of secret society members, and they run Yale University. And
Keep that thought. We'll be right back with more from Gary, Richard, Arnold. You're getting an education here on the Deep State. Gary, let's continue. This article title, of course, is Secret Society's 10 Regions. We, of course, know that goes back to the fall 1973 Foreign Affairs Journal, which is the Journal of the Council on Foreign Affairs, and a gentleman by the name of Hutchins. I'd like you to expand on this and explain exactly what this all means and how it's tied to places like the University of Chicago and Yale Law School, etc.
Right. Well, the University of Chicago, of course, was put together by Rockefeller family and the Field family, and it became the center for training all the people. It had an address of 1313 60th Avenue or Street or whatever it was, and it was renowned for training people for city manager and county administrative officers and professional people to take over from local elected city councils and county boards and
supervisors. Is that the same University of Chicago was tied also to Valerie Jarrett? Is that the same kind of situation?
Oh, absolutely it is.
Yeah, okay. Well, I didn't want to go off on a tangent, but please continue.
Yeah, that was the same field also. That was a family member was on the board for Saul Alinsky's Industrial Areas Foundation. So the very wealthy are always in league, with the so-called leftist street communists. It's a vice that they use and manipulate us so that we, it's a left-right food fight, and just get our minds off of what they're doing. But this Robert Hutchins, he actually went through Yale, as you mentioned, and became a member of one of the secret societies there.
Right.
And became a very young president for the University of Chicago. It was Wolf's Head at Yale that he belonged to. But McGeorge Bundy, who was Skull and Bones, he was the head of the Ford Foundation, and he split off some money to create this outfit, which you see the picture there, the Center for Democratic Institutions for the Study of, and that was called the Fund for the Republic. And they ran people through there, like Malcolm Baldrige, who was Skull and Bones. Red Ronnie, of course, appointed him to be Secretary of Commerce. Louis Learman, who put together a Hegelian right organization in New York. There's Douglas MacArthur II. I actually talked to him on the phone once when he was in Japan, and he seemed to be nicely ensconced in rebuilding Japan and wasn't too concerned about anything. There's also Roger Milliken, which I always thought was kind of good. He'd gotten money to the Birch Society, and I think they've done good work here and there and have done more than if they were, totally controlled. I think they've been important stepping stone for people getting information. But members of the Pillsbury family and William Wrigley, who's Wrigley Field and all the chewing gum stuff. But other people that were involved in it was Linus Pauling, Bishop Pike, which probably only you and I might remember.
You're talking about Linus Pauling, the physicist?
Yeah. And then Paul Ehrlich, who wrote The Population Bomb and is still popular, he said we'd all be underwater, of course, 20 years ago. But nobody cares that his, future-telling never came true. But the most important thing about this organization is they created a number of constitutions. And one of them includes, the chairman was Robert M. Hutchins, but they're going to get rid of the 50 states and make 20 or more, and that the president would have more power than any sovereign states. There wouldn't be a states' rights. There would be six branches of government instead of three. The regulatory branch would work with private industry, creating a fascist mechanism. There would be no more Supreme Court judicial powers. It would be up to the president. The president would serve for one nine-year term only. And senators would not be elected. They'd be chosen by other branches of government. They could be former presidents or other officials. There would be two vice presidents instead of one for general affairs and one for internal affairs. And the Bill of Rights, there wouldn't be any protection for that. There would be no right to trial by jury, and there would be no right to bear arms. And
where was this institution thought up all this crazy constitution?
Yeah, this is just one. They've probably got a two dozen of them that have matriculated out there, and so anytime Mark Levin or some of these other people pushing for a constitutional convention get one going, these boys are already with their stuff, while conservatives, have a hard time, making time to go on a picnic. So if that constitutional convention ever arrives, I don't think it's going to be very good for we Americans. But
it's like the idea right now that we're going to get rid of the activist politicians that are acting as Supreme Court justices, like Ruth, and I've changed her name from Bader to Gator, like an alligator.
Yeah.
Ginsburg, right?
Yeah.
These activist judges are operating in the same sphere as these so-called multiple constitutions, where representative government's gone, where the globalists and the wise ones actually determine everything, and you don't even have elected officials or representative government. You just have a representation by the elite that are pushed forward by these institutions and foundations and educational institutions.
That beautiful picture you see there of the building for the Center for the Study of Democratic Institutions is on a beautiful knoll in Santa Barbara. Anthony Hilder and myself, we went there to the gate to do a little YouTube report on it. And by that time, it had been converted back to a residence. That is now a residence that I think sold for $39 million a decade or so ago, I think I saw on the internet. But it was quite a mansion, and they put out tons of material that got distributed to all the universities and institutions around the world, feeding their globalism. But the Ford Foundation has not missed a step. These people from these secret societies always seem to have their hand in it, and it seems like they usually are part of the initial force of organizations like the Institute for the Study of Democratic Institutions. But and
of course, they're funding things like the United Nations ICWI, which is Resilient Cities, and so on. And these educational institutions are tied directly to founding these things, connected to the UN, aren't they?
Exactly. And there you've got Alger Hiss, you've got the Carnegie Foundation, you've got the people that were trying to protect them, such as William Bundy and dozens of others that came out and wrote checks for them. So here you got a guy like McGeorge Bundy, actually, who provided money for this institute for the study of democratic institutions, also protecting Alger Hiss. And of course, Alger Hiss was the first acting chairman of the United Nations in San Francisco in 1945. And Nelson Rockefeller was, one of the members of the delegation. Trying to think of that guy that I met. He's run for president more than anybody else. And I met him in New Hampshire back in the 80s. But he was, he was a one-world Wilkie. He was in charge of Wilkie's campaign in 1940. But the guy was a CFR member. Not remembering his name at the
minute. One of the pictures that I posted up yesterday is very telling. On when I had Scott Adams on, who's the CEO, head owner of Red City Talk Radio. And if you look at that picture, it says on the front of it, it's very telling. It says, wake up on the front end of it. Satanic pedophile cabal has infiltrated and hijacked America. And these pedophile, intel, demonic, high-level masons are running the world into the ground with multiple so-called pseudo-intellectual plans, don't they?
Yep, they're there. They...
These new constitutions you talked about that were at this institution is now a private residence near Santa Barbara. And, of course, you mentioned a couple of people, Rex Tugwell, former member of the Roosevelt's Brain Trust, Robert M. Hutchins, chairman, Harry N. Ashmore, senior fellow of the center, Warren Berger, opposed to trial by jury. He doesn't want trial by jury anymore. You mentioned also they put out a plan for 10 regions of the world, which are tied to literally the biblical prophecy that they will give their power to one king for a season of 10 regions in the world to create world government. And this will not last, but it will actually come to fruition at some point. It's going to happen probably after 2024 when, I believe when Trump goes, the New World Order will take back over control, because I don't see a replacement for Trump being groomed to take over Trump's policies. Do you?
No, unless some of these congressmen can get, you know, I just don't think they'd have the money. And I don't know how they can react or put up with the pressure that Trump has. I think Trump is truly unique. But
yeah, he's unique. He has to be financially independent, completely. He even makes jokes about being a president. So he doesn't take himself too seriously, does he?
Oh, man, he's got these guys running around in circles. I mean, it's funny if it weren't so serious. But they're deadly. They're biting and barking, and they're rabid right now, and a rabid dog is dangerous.
What I'm concerned about is that I don't see the swamp monster being gone. For example, they put this thing forward with, I think, signatures of somewhere around 12 or so members of Congress to actually impeach Rosenstein, but the Senate said, no, we're not going to do that. So it died. I mean, now they're going to get some more documents, but what Trump should do is declassify these documents so it just opens a whole can of worms. I don't know why he's holding back. Maybe because behind the scenes they're doing more intel, and they're not letting the left hand know what the right hand's doing. That's why a lot of these hearings, like with, with Page, et cetera, are private hearings where they're not going to disclose exactly all the things. So the other parties are trying to cover their butt, and the intel agencies and lawyers and the Department of Justice won't know, so they can't kind of compensate their behavior to try to cover themselves from the deep state and all they're doing, right?
Well, I sure hope so, but my guess is they've still got the place so wiretapped and everything else that the evil state, those that are trained and built into Interpol and the rest of them, David Boron's network, that they're still reporting to their outside international force and know pretty much what Trump is doing every day. But it seems like he's staying a few steps ahead.
Well, here's what I predict. I predict that the deep state will come back after the second term of Trump because it's not dead and nobody's going to jail, including Hillary Clinton and Podesta, etc. I predict that it'll be a natural event or a geoclimatic event or something like a coronal mass ejection, a natural event that will collapse society, and during that collapse, the deep state will lose power. I don't believe it'll happen naturally by the opposition, either by Trump or if Trump sets up an institution after he's no longer president, or anoint somebody that has a Trump-like behavior. But they have to be an independent billionaire that doesn't even need the salary. You have to be a communicator that's not afraid of all the abuse, because Trump's gone through more abuse than most humans could tolerate. And they have to be a person that's basically beyond compromise. In fact, as Trump is a high-level Royal Irish Scottish Rite Mason, so he's fully aware of what the other Masons are trying to do because he's a white hat. And he's very disruptive. He's disrupting the left and the right here. So neither side of this dialectic of evil is happy with Trump. They're all very angry with him, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, that's like this Dr. Steve Piesnik that I mentioned about a little bit earlier that was part of the Bin Laden unit that said that Bin Laden had died in, from Marfan syndrome or something like that way back in 2001.
Well, Martin, he's a Marfan, M-A-R-F-A-N, but he also had renal failure, and he actually was in the university in, I think, Bahrain at the medical institution was an American, and they took over the whole dialysis floor to bring him in to kind of rescue him. But he apparently died a matter of months after 9/11. He wasn't involved at all in any of these things. This is all deep state stuff. In fact, Marvin Bush, George Bush's brother, was the security officer for the World Trade Center Tower. His last day of operation was 9/11. So people need to know, just like this soccer person a few months ago wrote in the soccer field on the grass, that 9/11 was done by Bush. Of course it was, by Bush and the Bushites around him and the globalists around him. 9/11 was a Masonic, satanic, luciferic ceremony of death, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, you look at the so-called where they're all watching the screen. He says the intelligence community or the CIA doctored up the situation and claimed that Bin Laden was killed in a Pakistan.
That's a pile of garbage, and I didn't see them on the Fox News
scenario where you see a bunch of people sitting looking at a screen. They look as if their intents. He says that's nonsense. And he says the images released by the White House, which claim that Biden, Obama, and Hillary were watching the operation to kill bin Laden on a live screen is bull. And if, and for them to attack bin Laden, they would have had to attack a mortuary. But he's got a PhD from MIT. He's a psychiatrist, with a license. He worked for four different presidents. He's a former member of the CFR. He's fluent in five languages. He still, at that time, was still working for some contracts with the Defense Department.
Who's that again? Repeat the name.
Let me spell it because I have a hard time pronouncing the last one. It's Dr. Steve R, and for people that want to look them up, P-I-E-C-Z-E-N-I-K. Piesnik?
Piesnik, okay.
But well qualified guy. His expertise is in psychological warfare, so he sees, he knows exactly what's going on. And he says he's got a general. He'll go to, he's prepared to testify in front of a grand jury what a general told him, that it was a stand down and a false flag operation, and he's prepared to reveal the general's name. Of course, we see no takes by the Justice Department either under,
Yeah, in fact, there's no evidence whatsoever from black boxes that any American Airlines jets went to the World Trade Center towers or the Pentagon. None.
Yeah.
Zero. Nada. I know as a civil aviation examiner and taking care of pilots at Air Force Academy, there were no black boxes. These black boxes could have easily withstood the impact hitting the towers. There were no black boxes or databases or anything to indicate there were any commercial airliners went into those buildings, period. Well, it's not open, by the way, to opinion. People say
bin Laden off his ship, met his Islam requirements or whatever.
Well, yeah, they said apparently with the bin Laden thing, remember they say they incinerated bin Laden and threw his body over into the water? That is against Islamic law. You don't do that if you're Muslim, period. And they wouldn't violate it even if he's a criminal. So this idea that they took bin Laden after they killed him and threw him over the side of a ship is not rational. If you're Muslim, you don't do that, right?
That's right. Or if you're a diplomat, if you're State Department or Department of War or Defense or whatever it is, you wouldn't irritate, billion and a half people on Earth by doing something.
Right. So the fact is, his other alternate name, Bin Laden's other name, was Tim Osman, and he was actually the chief engineer of the largest Air Force military base built in the world outside the United States and our military bases in Saudi Arabia at the cost of $55 billion with B dollars. And it had to be far enough from Riyadh, almost like 500 miles from Riyadh out in the desert. So this is the largest, most expensive base built on Earth. And the chief engineer was bin Laden. He was an engineer. People don't know that.
If people do a search, I think they'll find a picture of Condoleezza Rice and bin Laden standing together with big old smiles. The other thing, the media really has gotten us off the hacks into the Democratic Committee, and we've forgotten that Podesta exposed a pedophile network. We need to get that back in. If anybody's going to talk about Russiagate or stealing elections or hacking, we need to get back on the pedophile activity of Podesta, Panetta's right-hand man. And, of course, it was Panetta also that ran the so-called attack on the non-existent bin Laden.
Yeah, exactly. He was already dead and buried. It was actually published in the journals in France, wasn't it? His death.
It was, yeah. No, the candidate for India that herself got assassinated said it was stupid because bin Laden had been dead for years.
Right, right. So I see this arrogant character coming on Fox trying to pretend, and even on Greg Gutfeld, and laughing and taking off and trying to act like a smart aleck. Excuse me, bin Laden has been in the ground for years. As they say, John Brown's body is smoldering in the grave. So was bin Laden, smoldering. So you didn't kill him.
You're maintaining a lot of notions.
Yeah.
That the American people have.
They're foxy. I mean, they're trying to protect the right, but they also don't want people to cross that red line and ask questions. They just want to go so far. It includes Hannity and others. Never go across that red line, right?